The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show Best Of Podcast.
Welcome back in. Paul Feinbaum Show, Cole Kubik, Roman Harper with you. And Will called in talking about Dixieland Delight a moment ago. You said when you played in Bryant-Denny Stadium, they didn't do Dixieland Delight.
No, it was nowhere near the spectacle that it is today, Cole. I told you earlier, I only knew it from like a bar. And I didn't know all the extra words that went into Dixieland Delight until now. I have aged and I've been in the league and then I retired and now I hear it. I told you, I took my family to a game just a couple years ago, and the only thing that my kids learned on this whole trip were spend my dollar on beer. That's about all they learned.
Oh, the words in between the actual
words.
The words in between the actual words.
Yeah. It's about all they knew.
I played one game at Bryant-Denny. I don't remember hearing Dixieland Delight either, because the Auburn fight song was playing most of the time. It was 9-0. We won. We'll go to Jason Campbell
now. A barn burner. 9-0.
Former Auburn quarterback joining the show. Jason, I brought up earlier, do you recall your freshman year when you could not take a snap under center when you first got to campus?
If you don't, he told the people that already, Jason. I just want you to know.
Look how far you've come, Jason. Now you are the radio voice beside Andy Burcham for Auburn broadcast, and you literally could not hold on to a snap under center when you first got to campus. It's amazing. Well,
you know, Cole, you're supposed to age like fine wine, so when I first got to Auburn, I was a shotgun quarterback in high school, and then I got there, I had to take snaps from you and from Ben Nallen, and you know, me being 6'5", having to squat down to you 5'4" guys, you know, it's a little bit difficult. but I tell you, times have changed a lot though.
You know, those times have changed. We look at this Auburn coaching staff now. You know, the biggest knock, Jason, back in the day, a lot of people would say that Auburn doesn't take care of their own. And when I look at this roster, you know, when they have Frank Sanders, Steven Davis, Damian Craig, these guys have gone on and do other things. But when you look at this coaching staff right now, you look at Coach Marcus Davis, Zach Etheridge, and Carnell Cadillac Williams, they're all on this staff. These people are Auburn men. Could you talk about what it means to say you're an Auburn man or part of this family and the tradition that these guys are going to be able to uphold and hold these guys to the certain standard?
Oh, yeah, most definitely, Ron. When you think about, you know, over time and tradition at Auburn, you know, it's all about the people that's been in those doors, the guys that's put that uniform on and played for that university and understand what hard work means and how to get it out to where it becomes contagious to your teammates. And, you know, I think the best thing Auburn did last year was putting Carnell Williams in as the head coach, interim head coach, late in the season, because we had kind of lost our luster. You know, we was trending in the wrong direction. We wasn't getting a lot of energy and everything going along with our university and our football program. It feeds a lot of the other sports that comes along at Auburn. And, you know, I think once the Carnell got in there and people got to see, like, this is a guy that actually played at the university, actually a guy that understands how to get it done, what it feels like to have an Auburn family behind you. And I think he kind of simplified that and kind of got it going in the right direction. And once Coach Freeze got there, he kind of passed the baton. And Coach Freeze know what it's like to have players. You have all the S's and O's that you want. But if you don't have the players that can go out and execute those plays and extend plays, then you're not going to win games. And winning in the SEC is all about having a competitive roster. And I think that's what we've gotten to. But like you said, to have guys that's played at Auburn, been at Auburn, they going to want it more than just anyone, because they want to protect the shield. And they will do anything it takes to make sure that we get back to winning ways.
Jason Campbell, former Auburn great, joining us now on the show. You mentioned pass the baton. Stan White now passes that to you. You'll be in that radio booth each and every week. You've paid attention since you left Auburn. Now you'll watch it in a little bit of a different way. I'm interested for you, Jason, once spring ball does get going here in a couple of weeks, what are you paying most attention to? What do you want to see developed, or what questions do you have about what position that really need to be answered for Jason Campbell coming out of this spring?
You know, a lot of it, Cole, is a lot of people want to know, like, what the quarterback situation is going to look like. You know, it's going to be a competitive room. We all know that. Coach Freeze have said that, you know, publicly. Also, looking at our offensive line, we picked up 4 big-time players in the transfer portal. And I think when you get able to do that, you understand games are won in the trenches. And we did the same thing on the defensive side of the ball. We was able to sign some defensive linemen in the transfer portal. And we was able to get a 5-star in Keldrick Faulk. And I thought that was huge out of high school. So, you know, they understand, you know, how to win in the SEC. Now it's just about you know, getting some chemistry with the guys, seeing this offensive line can come together and be one of the better offensive lines in the SEC this year because of their experience that these guys already have. Now it's just kind of tooling in on the playbook. Now, I think from the other aspect of it is, you know, we got DJ Williams and Nehemiah Pritchard back at the cornerback position. That was two huge gets for this staff to retain those guys. But you talk about the guys up front, Justin Rogers out of Kentucky, and then you're able to get Mozell Kite, you know, out of Maryland and get the Lawrence Johnson from Purdue. So you're able to get guys that played football in college that have experience. You know, you lose guys like we've lost this past year when you think about it from that standpoint. So, you know, I'm excited to see what happens this spring. I'm excited to see this offense under Coach Montgomery and Coach Freeze still having his touch on it. But, you know, everything starts at the top. You know, with the quarterback in a leadership position, and we'll see what transpires through the spring and summer.
Hey, Jason, you talked about all these transfers. Does the transfer portal all of a sudden change your outlook on what the season can be? It's no longer you get, you know, a coach has 4 years in his whole recruiting staff. He has to have this whole cycle. It's like we want to win right now. And if with that mindset and all those things happening, what is the win total for Auburn next year? And what makes the fans happy? Because I think the fans matter at Auburn just a little bit.
Yeah. Hey, I would say this, Robert. I can't put a win total on it, but it has to be better than it's been the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. You know, you think about for this football team, the last 2 years have not been the standard of what Auburn football should look like and be like. You know, we've been competitive, but we really haven't been as deep competitive as we can be. And I think the schedule this year, you know, you get Georgia and Alabama at home. You go to LSU and Texas A&M. That's two big road tests. But you also got to travel out to California. So I think early on this season, we'll have an opportunity to do what we need to do to kind of build some confidence. And you're going to get tested early and everything. But I feel like for this team this year, you can't put a win total. But if all the pieces come together, I think we're going to have an opportunity to be competitive in the end of November to have a chance to go to the SEC West and win the SEC West and get into that championship game. So it's just all about everything coming together. But we have pieces in place, and that's the thing about transfer portal. You can change the scope of your football team in a landslide within a year. It's just about attacking that part of it, but you still build your football team through high school recruits.
Yeah, Jason, I would have probably been benched a lot earlier with the guy transferring in playing in front of me if the portal was around when I was at Auburn, so glad that it wasn't. You mentioned developing in a new offense. I mean, you only played for 27 offensive coordinators during your collegiate and NFL career. If these Auburn quarterbacks came to you, Holden Garner or Robbie Ashford, TJ Finley, and said, Jason, give me a little bit of advice on how to adapt to a new offense quickly. You should be the expert at it. What would you tell them?
Yeah, I would just tell them you got to buy in. You know, you got to mentally focus and buy into what the new coaching staff is trying to sell. You can't sit in the room and feel like you know everything. You can't think that you know everything. You got to understand from a simple point that everything is about change at this level, and you have to adjust and adapt often. And you want to play the position, no matter you're in college, you're at the pro level. It's always going to be a competitive environment. But how you get the edge is sitting in that room and being a student of the game, not just want to be a player to make plays on the field, but you got to make everyone else around you better. And how you do that is being able to stand up in front of a room and be able to lead men and be able to talk to them and be competitive. So, you know, those guys just got to understand you have to not eliminate everything that you learn, but be open-minded to what the new coaching staff is trying to do, and don't get frustrated. You know, understand that there's going to be some times during this thing that it's going to take you a little time to learn.
Well, Jason, I want you to be open-minded on this question I got for you. Totally coming from left field on this one. Number one.
I'm here.
Oh, he's still here. Okay. Number one, that is an awesome backsplash behind you right there. That was great. I don't know who put that together, but that was beautiful.
Well, hold on
a
second. What, are we making smoothies back there? Somebody drying their hair? What's going on back there?
For a second, they were doing some renovation on the house, and then all of a sudden the water came back on.
Cole, he's got stuff going on, Cole.
Like, what kind of timing we got going on here? We can make an audible. I have to go over there, Cole, and, you know, I had to go tap my left tackle and say, hey, hold on. Change of the pass protection.
I love that. All right, so this is completely off the subject here. In 2009, you were the quarterback of the Washington Redskins at the time. Now they're Commanders. And you were playing the New Orleans Saints, who were an undefeated team at the time. Do you remember the play where Drew Brees drops back, throws an interception, your guy number 41, I don't remember his name, picks the ball off, and is running down the field, and Robert Meacher comes from behind, strips the ball, and runs it back the other way for a touchdown? What was going through Jason Campbell's mind? Because you guys were going to win that game.
Yeah, a lot was going through my mind. That was my better football games as a pro. And
it was really good.
And I remember coming in against y'all defense, y'all had Greg Williams, who was our defense coordinator, you know, early part of my career. And we was going up and down the field. It was one of those shootout style games. And I just remember that play happening. I'm just like, can you believe this? I was just like, we're actually probably going to lose the game off a play like this. And when they say in the NFL, you've never seen it all, you really never seen it all. Because I remember us getting to the 5-yard line, Roman. You was on that team.
I was.
5-yard line. And to kick the field goal to win the game, you know, to put the game out of reach. And we missed a 5-yard chip field goal. And the game ended up going to overtime. So, you know, it was one of those years that we could have won a lot of games. It was just like that. Games went against us. And you just sit back there and shake your head because, you know, it's just things that happen that you just can't put your hat on.
Well, Jason, we're happy for you, proud of you, excited to hear you on radio calls of Auburn football broadcast this fall. And the contractor owes you a discount. You got to know better. When the interview's happening, you got to have the timing set, and he didn't. So I expect a discount for that.
Congrats, too, man. Congrats, Jason.
Hey, appreciate it. I look forward to a guy. Like I said, Stan has been great for 22 years. He's been a great mentor to me, and I know he looks forward to spending time with his family and his young ones. And he deserves it. He deserves it, and I look forward to, you know, building something here with the guys. And it's the closest thing you're going to get to playing football again, yep. You know. Being involved in the play-by-play. So, you know, I'm excited about the opportunity, and I'll try to get the listeners all the insight that I've learned through college and pro football, and hopefully that when they watch the game, they also hear it in a different way.
And you're working next to one of the best in the business in Andy Bertram. So, trust me, I've called games next to him. He makes your life easy. That's the best part about it. So, Jason, thanks a lot, man. We appreciate the time.
I appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Jason Campbell, one of the best to ever do it in an Auburn uniform, joining us there on the phones. And got you thinking a little bit about spring football for Auburn. We talk a lot about some of these other teams. We mentioned LSU earlier. Georgia obviously going for a three-peat. Let's talk about Auburn on the other side. What do we expect? You brought up the win total. What does it need to be? What does it have to be? When we come back, we'll kind of take a little early peek at Auburn spring. Go back to some of your calls and just maybe try to answer a few of those questions that Hugh Freeze is going to have in his opening spring practice on the Plains. Next on the Paul Finebaum Show.
You're listening to the Paul Finebaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Welcome back in. Paul Finebaum Show. Cole Kublik, Roman Harper sitting in today. 855-242-7285. If you want to be a part of the show, we left previously talking about Auburn, the expectation. Hugh Freeze takes over. I'll start with this. Your thoughts on the staff that he's put together so far?
I love the staff. I've loved what they've done in the recruiting ranks. You know, they were so far behind, and as soon as they just picked it right up, you can tell this is a veteran group of coaches that care about what they're doing, and they're intentional in every moment or everything that they're doing right now. So I like what Auburn's building. They still got to go out there and get some wins, and you're still in the SEC West, where we know it's a gauntlet all year long.
I think there's a couple underrated pieces. Philip Montgomery can call plays flat out. We know that. Ron Roberts can call defense. Hugh will be a part as well. We know he knows offense. You keep Carnell and a couple of guys around that have been a part of the program before, but You look at the defensive line, the wide receiver positions, those are guys that aren't necessarily stars in the coaching profession yet that I think are rising fast, and we'll know about them pretty soon. And Jason Campbell said it earlier. They've addressed the trenches, which had to be done. Justin Rogers is big time at nose. You get a D tackle from Purdue that can play. You get a D tackle from Maryland. It's a little bit of a different body type, but I think can help you sideline to sideline some. And then on the offensive line, it had to get better. And Dylan Wade out of Tulsa, he's big time. The kid's going to be plug and go at left tackle. I promise you, you get a tackle from Western Kentucky that's got 33, 34 career starts, number one JUCO tackle. Avery Young, the kid from Eastern Carolina, I think he can come in and start at center. So all of a sudden that offensive line's gone from not very good to has a chance to be okay.
I love that they went and tried to get better. The transfer portal changes everything. And shout out to my old former coach, Wesley McGriff, Crime Dog.
Crime Dog's there.
Oh, yeah, Crime back Dog's again. Back, baby.
Logan in Oxford, Mississippi. Welcome into the show, Logan.
Logan,
are you with us?
How are y'all doing?
We're great. How are you?
Doing good. I kind of just wanted to talk about how Kevin Smith coming back from Miami is going to how that's going to affect the current running back room at Ole Miss.
Well, it's not going to affect number one. I can tell you that because Judkins is going to get a lot of carries and get a heavy bulk load of the work because he is the best returning running back in the SEC. But they have that prior relationship. He's a part of his recruitment before at Ole Miss. And I don't think as far as rotation is going to change a whole lot. I mean, he's well thought of. He's a great recruiter and somebody that understands Lane and Judkins both. So hopefully the development of the guys behind him can maybe help take a little bit off.
Amen. I agree.
There you go.
I mean,
right.
Judkins is the best running back.
The second part of that is, do you think that that is an upgrade over the last running back coach that we had?
I think from a recruiting standpoint, probably. I mean, the way – you tell me, Roman, the way I always understood it and appreciate the call is your running back coach is got to be one of your best recruiters. I mean, what are you coaching, three guys?
Yeah, and I don't even know what running back –
inside arm up, know which way the play goes, and then teach them how to protect and pass pro.
Right, I think teaching how to protect and pass pro is the biggest thing that they teach. And also, like, your aiming point. And then after that, running backs are all feel. It's not a lot of, you know, oh, this is what you're supposed to do. I don't know how you teach running backs. I think it's all feel. You got to get used to doing it, and just those guys can do it.
You get the occasional Tiki Barber, how he holds the ball, or you know, Najee and how he sees things, or how he hits the hole, and maybe develop a little bit more patience. I mean, think about Tank Bigsby when he first got to Auburn. It was get ball, 1,000 miles an hour. I don't care what's in front of me. It might be my right guard. I'm running him over.
Yeah.
All right, now let's have a little patience. Wait for the play to develop. This is maybe how you need to hit it here. This is when you cut it back. So I think there's some intricacies of the running back position that can be taught. It's just not as much as a lot of the other positions on the field.
You've been in way more offensive meetings than me, so I'm gonna let you have that one because I have no idea. I look at running backs coaches, and I'm like, I mean, I see them yell and talk about stuff whenever somebody fumbles. But other than that, I don't know.
Oh, the running back room corrections that we got were, why did you drop it and why didn't you pick that guy up? I think that's about it. So, Elliot in Ohio, welcome into the show, Elliot. Elliot.
He's hey, busy. Cole.
You there?
Hey, Cole.
Hey, Elliot, hey, Cole. How you doing? Yes.
Oh, my gosh, Cole, I can't believe it. Hey, here's what I was going to say. What about all this controversy with Hugh Freeze when he got hired? What are we going to do? Like, I'm from the website, the SECisOverrated.com, so I got a bit of a slant here, but...
Well, first thing, you got your website name wrong. Because they're rated in about everything.
But here's the deal. What am I going to do now to combat that? I'm going to pull Urban Meyer off his bar stool to get him coaching now? Come on, guys. You got to do better than that.
What do we need to combat it with? Who's combating what? What are we combating?
The Hugh Freeze hire.
Well, there have been past transgressions, but I think Hugh has addressed those. I for one, am not going to call out personal mistakes that somebody's made in their life 5, 10, 15 years ago. That's not for me to do. I'd be a total hypocrite if I tried to do that. Mm-hmm. Second off, the recruiting implications that happened in the past. Yep, not good, not great, but wouldn't be a foul today. So I think you have the ability to possibly look over that. And if you did your homework on the Liberty stuff, I think you would understand that that's not something that really anybody needs to spend a ton of time on. So I don't really understand the context of how we're going to counter it Is there another team that needs to hire another coach and they're looking at Urban Meyer? I'm not real clear.
Oh no, I think Urban needs to come to the Big Ten, and then nobody says anything when we hire Urban in the Big Ten. That's what I think.
Well, they're about eight schools in the Big Ten. If they could get him, it'd be a hell of a hire. I'll tell you that.
True.
Thanks for the call, Elliot. Appreciate that. All right, get to a break. One thing that we can all celebrate, no matter who you root for.
What's that?
Mardi Gras.
Oh, love
we are going to talk to Dr. Michael Pasquier. Sorry. I'll get it when we come back and talk Mardi Gras next on the Paul Feinbaum Show.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
All right, we are back. Paul Feinbaum Show. Roman Harper, Cole Kubrick filling in for Paul today. And as we stated before the break, doesn't matter what team you root for, we can all be happy about and celebrate Mardi Gras. That's why we're going to bring in LSU history professor Dr. Michael Pasquier to discuss everything Mardi Gras and everything that goes with it. Dr. Pasquier, I have to start with this because I grew up in Alabama. Moved to Birmingham when I was 2 years old. I've lived in that state every day for the rest of my life. A lot of folks will say it started in Mobile. Other folks, a couple states over, will say, this is a Louisiana party, sir. So I need to hear from you. Where exactly did Mardi Gras start?
Mobile.
It came to the Gulf Coast in the 1700s, and it started in Mobile. That is a fact.
Okay, there you go.
Now,
in fact, they used to, the way they worked though, is they would chop a cow's head off, or bull's head off, and cart it through the town. That's how they celebrated it. So
I think Rick Trickett did that at Mississippi State as well when he was coaching the offensive line there.
Right. All right, Doc, I got to know this because this is the one I know a lot about Mardi Gras, and I go every year. I take the family because it is a family affair. Everybody thinks it's not family friendly, but it's very much so family friendly. Where do the Mardi Gras colors come from? The purple, yellow, and the green. Like, who came up with that color scheme? That's the one thing I do not know.
Yeah, the color scheme has to do with the. It's sometimes these colors are associated with the Magi, those who brought gifts to Jesus in the New Testament, and so they're kind of auspicious royal colors. Those three colors also, actually, interestingly, some Russian Duke was visiting New Orleans, and that was his colors, and he was invited by the crew of Rex to participate in Mardi Gras, and as a sign of respect to this famous Russian Duke, they took those colors and applied them to the Mardi Gras parade that they held that year, and it stuck.
I'm wondering if Texas A&M, when they had Quentin Coriot, stole that from the crew of Rex to make the Wrecking Crew defense, which they had there when 55 was running around. I'm interested in just what this means, because we see floats, we see parades, people throwing beads, the colors that Roman just meant, but, I mean, school gets out for a week. I don't think a lot of people that aren't near the region have any idea just exactly what this means to a lot of people in the state of Louisiana and the surrounding areas.
Yeah, it's the only state with Mardi Gras as a state holiday. My kids are off of school all next week. Roman, you know this. You know, you were there. And it's like having a second spring break during the, you know, during the spring semester. And it's like Roman was saying, this is a family affair. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can do adult Mardi Gras and it might hurt the next morning, but family Mardi Gras is a real, real treasure. It's kids are on ladders. They're running around, they're grabbing things. I grew up going as a child and some of the best memories of my life, just camping out, finding a spot, and you know, spending all day for days on end with friends and family. It's a really good time.
You know, Doc, we keep our ladders at the place at our house down in New Orleans just for this occasion. You get to get the kids up there, and eventually they get too big, and now they are in the street. So you got to watch them in between parades. It comes with a lot of rules, Cole. You got to understand it's inside rules to make sure you have great family fun at Mardi Gras. Like, yes, it is. All right. Having an extra condo does help. I agree with that.
Humble brag.
But could you tell me what would be some rules that you would give your kids to make sure that we're able to have fun but keep it safe, especially down in New Orleans or in Louisiana areas when everybody's going to, in between parades, what is the correct, I would say, tenor or, you know, attitude to have?
Well, number one, the parents need to say, mostly sober so that you can, you know, you know, keep your eyes on your kids. Number two, with your kids, you know, they need to know where you're at. You know, maybe have some signage that they can see if they get a little bit separated down the road, if they follow a float or they follow some friends. So they have that landmark so they know where to return. My sister got lost one time at Mardi Gras, tripped everybody out, ruined the day. Because it can really happen. You know, these are these massive groups of people. It's like being at a concert all day. And so those are some key, I think, things that we need to think about as parents with our kids.
Now, Dr. Pasquet, how far do you go with Mardi Gras academically? We know you're a history professor there at LSU. Do you have a Mardi Gras class? Is there just a portion of a certain class that's on Mardi Gras? Like what academically, how far does this go?
You know, I've never taught a history of Mardi Gras. But if you're teaching Louisiana history or if you're teaching anything, you know, history of Louisiana, Mardi Gras is going to be, you know, a piece of that. It's kind of just built into the culture of the place.
Right.
It's something that everyone knows and does. And for those who are local to New Orleans and to be honest, you know, there's Mardi Gras parades and crews and groups throughout Louisiana, especially southern Louisiana. There are many ways in which people identify themselves as being a part of Mardi Gras. It isn't just New Orleans. That's the most famous one for good reason. Mm-hmm. But it's a part of the culture. It's a part of the history. And it's an annual event that that does shape the society.
So it's kind of like Kevin Falk, Booger McFarlane, Mardi Gras, Leonard Fournette. Is that like kind of Joe Burrow? Like that's right. That would be our syllabus for the semester?
I think that's a perfect syllabus, a perfect trajectory, perfect thread.
I could pull a 70 on that, easy. Because I got four of the five covered, no problem.
Easy.
Just grab your seat. Just get a seat. Walk away.
Yeah. All right, Dr. Pasquet, all right, two questions for you. What is your favorite parade to attend and also to watch? And then lastly, you know, after Fat Tuesday, everything shuts down at 12 o'clock. We kick everybody off the streets. And more people show up at Catholic Church than any other time, I'm sure, on Ash Wednesday. What are you giving up on your Ash Wednesday?
All right, so my favorite parade, I'm not going to go. Tomorrow night, I got a parade in Baton Rouge that runs right alongside my house. Huh. That's my favorite parade. It's called the South Downs Parade. It's the best. Make a big pot of red beans. People come over and we chill. But if you're going to go to parades in New Orleans, I would focus on some of the day parades. Mm-hmm. Where you can really just kind of camp out and enjoy the day. Hopefully the weather's nice. February can be really great in Louisiana. As for what I'm giving up for Lent, I need to think about that come Wednesday morning. I'm kind of a bad Catholic sometimes, so I need to use Lent to right the ship, so to speak.
Interesting. Okay. So I do think it's intriguing. We go Catholicism the day that Paul's not in. But nonetheless, Dr. Pasquet, one more question. Give us one name historically around Mardi Gras that everybody should know that we probably don't know and tell us why we need to know that name.
Oh, man. That's interesting. I mean, pick one of the Marsalises. pick some of our singers, maybe Harry Connick Jr. Pick some of the, you know, these guys and gals that have been shaping the sound
Matt
and
Monk,
rhythm of New Orleans.
Matt Dorsey, Jacob right? Hester, Michael Clayton. I got names. I just don't know.
Roman Harper.
Have to do with Mardi Gras, but I got names.
There's a sound to Mardi Gras. It isn't just about, you know, the people. And so the sound that you're going to receive at a Mardi Gras parade, that's the sound in New Orleans with the marching bands and with the second lines and with whatever people are blazing on a speaker, right? This is, it's all senses when you're at a Mardi Gras parade.
Mm-hmm. There's nothing like it. Absolutely. Dr. Pasquet, thanks for taking the time
to join us
today. Really appreciate it. Roman has offered up his condo to you in New Orleans if you need a place to crash down there closer to the big important parades. one of his condos, excuse us. Yes, just one. You can't have access to both. Thanks for joining us.
I'll be there.
Thanks a lot. All right, Dr. Michael Pasquet joining us, talking a little Mardi Gras there. Now, you've experienced this in a different way. I mean, I can imagine being a football player for the Saints and Mardi Gras comes to town.
Cole, it's really hard to put it into perspective, you know, because you can do it just normal, like uptown, St. Charles. That's a good way to do it. But then all of a sudden, you and your teammates get together, and all of a sudden you get a balcony on Bourbon Street. It's a total different party going on right now. So it's different.
That's
ways
not the family party
that,
we were
that is not
about.
The
that's
family.
Not, that's not the
that's
one.
That's not the one we've been talking about the last 5 minutes. But it's all available. There's a lot of options, a lot of different flavors. That's the best thing about Mardi Gras in New Orleans, is that you can do it all. Not only that, Cole, but imagine winning a Super Bowl. The Kansas City Chiefs, we just saw them on one of these monitors over here. They're celebrating, riding a bus, going down the middle of Kansas City. And all of a sudden, in New Orleans, it's a little bit different. We won a Super Bowl. They stopped Mardi Gras. All right, we're going to pause it for a day and a half, and we're going to do a Super Bowl celebration. And a matter of fact, we're not even going to rent buses or floats. We're just going to let all the players ride on the floats that we already got. So it just kind of goes hand in hand with everything that's going on. It's the biggest party that I've ever been a part of, and it lasted about 6 hours longer than expected, and nobody cares. So
no.
And the best thing about New Orleans and Mardi Gras is that they never tell you to go home, and they never tell you to stop drinking and having fun either.
That sounds incredible. All right, more on that, more on some SEC football when we come back next here on the Paul Feinbaum Show.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Welcome back in, Paul Feinbaum Show. Roman Harper, Cole Kublik, filling in for Paul today. It's been a fun show so far. I got a lot more left, and obviously, I'm going to go to the phones. 855-242-7285. I told you in the break, something I tried to never do, but I will go to line six, Papa Spectacular. Welcome into the show, Papa.
Hello, Raw War Eagle Cole and Roll Tide Roman.
Well, thank
War
you.
War Eagle. I didn't know folks said both.
Me neither. Roll Tide.
Yeah. Roman asked a while ago for the gentleman to give him the number of wins that Auburn was going to have, and I think I can give you that number.
We'll take it.
What you got?
Win 7, with a little luck in one of the tough games, 8, and then win the bowl game.
So 9? 9 with a bowl win?
Right, 9 with a bowl win.
Okay. Papa, I think most Auburn fans will be pleased with that.
They will be over the moon for nine after what this last two seasons have been. I would be ecstatic for them as well. That's just showing that Hugh Freeze knows how to coach in big moments, in big games. He's won a lot of those. He knows what it takes to win in the SEC. It wouldn't shock me because Auburn is a team in a university that's supposed to be winning 8-9 games on average. That is who they traditionally are. And every 5 years or 4 years, they're going to make a run at a championship. That is what Auburn has always been, and I think Hugh Freeze gets them right back to that.
Pop, are you enjoying Mardi Gras already? Or?
No. For an 88-year-old, I'm kind of staying pretty close to home. You understand, I went to Alabama Polytechnic Institute.
Got it. Well, we appreciate the call, and we're going to talk about that Auburn win total. You saw the schedule there a moment ago. If there's an advantage, I think, that Auburn may have this year, Roman, outside of bringing in someone who is known to develop quarterbacks. You have quarterback talent on the roster. T.J. Finley has started games. Robbie Ashford has started games. Do they need development? Absolutely. Holden Garner, I wouldn't call him out of it just yet. That road trip to Cal is interesting. Auburn can beat Cal, should beat Cal, probably will beat Cal. By the way, Chris Hatcher does a great job with Samford. Samford's only loss last year in the regular season? Do you know?
No.
A little trivia?
No, I don't.
Georgia Bulldogs. Only game they lost in the regular season last year.
Didn't even know.
At A&M, tough. Georgia, tough. At LSU, we mentioned earlier what we think of LSU going into this season. I think it just may be that defenses aren't going to be great across the board this year. They're not a ton of defensive players that I think you look at and say, okay, we got a game plan for that guy. So maybe that helps this offense grow a little bit more. The offensive line will be a little bit better. Running back's going to be solid. When I asked Jason Campbell position, he was looking most forward to watching in the spring. For me, that would be wide receiver. They've got to have a guy or two step up this spring. I think 7 in the regular season would be a big plus for Hugh Freeze. And then if you added an 8th in the regular season and a 9th with a bowl game, Auburn fans should be ecstatic with that.
They would. And it just – look, we saw LSU do it last year where a team comes out of nowhere with very low expectations, just understanding what the SEC West is, and you shock some teams early, and next thing you know, you find yourself in the SEC championship game. Whether you belong there or not, it can happen. We've seen it happen in the past. We just saw it happen. And Auburn is looking forward to, you know, for me, it's all about Hugh Freeze and his quarterback development skills. I love that aspect of it. Also getting some grown men on both sides of the fronts, offensive line and defensive line. That really changes the ball game because games in the SEC are won and lost up front. Auburn, I've never seen a team have more free runners at a quarterback than I did at Auburn's offensive line last year. Cole, I know that upsets you. Just knowing. But the thing is that I'm not telling a lie. It happened a lot. And so when they get those things squared away, a quarterback can actually play football the way it's meant to be played. And on defensive side, they got to be able to affect the quarterback.
Yes.
The only way you win games defensively now is you affect the quarterback by rush and coverage, and usually in that order. And the best way to do it is by getting you a strong defensive line.
You bring up that Auburn O-line, the pressure at the work my square breathing that I learned there and just kind of take a little bit of a break. The difference with LSU last year, I thought they had the third most talented roster in the league going into the season. Georgia, Bama, and then LSU. So a little bit more to work with. And
they figured it out,
though. Don't know if Auburn's that close from a talent perspective.
They really figured it out. It was good.
Let's go to Gene in Florida. Welcome into the show, Gene.
Thank you. I'd like to get your opinions on the following NIL scenario.
All right.
Let's say I'm a billionaire, and I'm an alumnus of fill-in-the-blank university. All I want is an autographed picture, maybe frame it, and I'm willing to pay every scholarship football player $1 million each season. I'm going to put these pictures in my man cave. What would make that illegal?
Nothing, no.
No, I don't think anything would. It may depend on what state you're in, but I mean, I believe Miami had a deal with a local gym where every player on the team, it wasn't $1 million each, but every player on the team had a part of that deal. I think there have been multiple schools that have had a team-wide deal where it was $150, $1,000 per player per team. So, no, nothing. If you wanted to throw that kind of money away and get absolutely zero return on that kind of investment, you'd be free to do it. So,
well, how long is it going to take, like, the Walmart Corporation to get behind Arkansas?
Well,
why wouldn't they?
They've got the opportunity to. There's a collective set up there in Arkansas, and they have the ability to go in and put as much money as they want to in. I think the thing that we sometimes maybe perceived to be real that's not is people that have more money than we can ever fathom don't necessarily love throwing that money away.
Yeah. They're people, smart business people,
get that
people
money for a reason.
Yeah.
Yeah. They want returns on money that goes out. They want more coming in because that's usually the way that it works. So we'll continue having an NIL conversation. That. Just kind of appreciate the call. Talk more NIL.
Cole, I got one quick question for you. Make it fast. All right. If you're Hugh Freeze, you come out spring training, practice number one, what are you wearing? Blue or orange? Or maybe white?
Orange.
Orange. All right, good. I would. I would pick an alternative color, too. I'm orange as well. All right, yeah. I'm just wondering.
I like orange. I'll tell you why on the other side of the break right here on the Paul Feinbaum Show.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.